Now, there's always a temptation to say, oh, there's more important technologies. You should focus on the technologies of the future, like internet or like this or like that. But Clear Channel isn't trading in its radio licenses right now and just making a bunch of web stations. Even if FM broadcasting only lasts another 10 or 15 years, what we're building is not so much radio stations as institutions of a more democratic media. Radio.
Prometheus Radio has hosted 6 other barn raisings and is planning 2 others later this year in Chicago and Northampton, Massachusetts. With Pablo Virgo, Chayne Gilbert, April Glazer, Cecily Friday, Walter Bell, and Selena Masuta, I'm Ingrid Drake for Free Speech Radio News. Free Speech Radio News is produced at Pacifica Station's WBAI in New York.
There just aren't enough women in IT, and that's not good for anyone.
Imagine that.
20 years ago, nearly 4 in 10 computer science majors were women. Now it's down to around 3 in 10. And the proportion of women working in information technology has dropped too. That's a real concern for the IT industry. With a lack of women in their field, they lose numbers in their workforce, valuable creative input, and many opportunities for success. It's not good news for the women missing out either. With the number of IT jobs projected to increase by about a third over the next 7 years, more than double the growth rate for jobs overall, that's a lot of IT paychecks women won't be cashing. Dr. Bobby Schnabel, a computer scientist at the University of Colorado at Boulder, has decided enough is enough. He thinks the IT field needs to update its image. And to combat this problem, he and several colleagues helped form the National Center for Women and Information Technology, a network of organizations, companies, and individuals. The center works to understand more about the gender disparity and to increase participation by women and minorities nationwide. Its goal is an audacious one: attain equal numbers of men and women studying and working in information technology by 2024. I'm Eric Phillips. Imagine That covers projects funded by the U.S. government's National Science Foundation. Federally sponsored research brought to you by you. Learn more at nsf.gov.
And you listen to radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. It's 6:03, time for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. And boy, I really blew it last week, didn't I? Oh, man. See, I keep forgetting this is not just a live radio show. This show is heard by people on delay. It's heard on the internet. So sometimes I might say something that applies for one day and then, well, it's completely different for the next. And that's what happened. Last week at this time, I happened to comment, just because it was on my mind, I said the Pope is a lot stronger than everybody's giving him credit for, and he's going to be there for quite some time. And, you know, it was sheer agony knowing that the program was going to be aired on shortwave on Saturday night and watching as his conditions just kept declining Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then realizing also that I sort of made fun of Catholicism and said all those nasty things, you know. The day the Pope dies, that's not when you want to make those kind of remarks. So, well, gosh, that's just the nature of nature of me, I guess. But, yeah, it certainly caught me by surprise. I mean, you know, we all knew he was declining, just a question of how quickly. And he hit the home stretch in the past week, and that's it. No more John Paul. As far as popes go, I'm no big Pope fan. Don't get me wrong here. But as far as popes go, he was one of the better ones, I think. Certainly one of the ones that stayed in power for the longest. But I remember when he actually was named as the successor to Pope John Paul. Yeah, Pope John Paul I, whose reign lasted about a month amidst all kinds of intrigue. But we won't get into that. When he was named the first Polish pope, it was unheard of. It was amazing. It was something that shocked the world. And then this guy, he was able to speak any language in the world, and maybe some other worlds too. He was incredible. And he had a way of connecting with whoever it was he was speaking to, whether it was children, people in the third world, the religious right, Castro. This guy was, he's described as a rock star. I guess, you know, that sort of applies. And I doubt there's anything I would agree with him on as far as morality and organized religion in general. But one thing he was not was a hypocrite. He stood by what he said, and when it came time for him to actually move on to whatever lies beyond, he insisted on being in his own place. None of that Terry Schiavo nonsense for him. But, you know, there's also a little bit that kind of makes me think just how strange it all really is. Listen to this. This is, I got this from a South African newspaper, but it's been circulating. Officials in Krakow, that's in Poland. In fact, I was there about a year and a half ago. Beautiful city. And John Paul II served there as Archbishop. Officials in Krakow are expressing the hope that his heart could be buried in their cathedral alongside Poland's medieval kings and saints. Most popes in recent centuries have been buried in the St. Peter's Basilica at the Vatican. And while John Paul's wishes have not yet been made public, many in Poland hope that part of John Paul could be laid to rest in Krakow's Warol Cathedral. We would like the heart of the greatest Cracovian, that's what you call someone from Krakow, and the greatest Pole, that's what you call somebody from Poland, to rest at Warol. And don't ask me to define what that word means. But the rules are set by the church, and we will respect them.
Celebrate il Signore. celebrateis.
It was the custom until the late 19th century to bury the Pope's heart separately, but analysts do not expect the tradition to be revived. Maybe it's me. But the whole thing seems just a tad odd, don't you think?
A blessed Easter in the joy of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Redeemer of the world.
I mean, when you go around scooping out hearts from dead popes and burying them in separate countries, I think it's time to start taking a good look at your religion. You know, it's just a little weird, especially when you look at the rest of the world.
Tedesca, frohe und gesegnete Ostern, der Friede des Auferstandenen seid mit euch.
It's hard to look at any religious tradition and accuse it of being backward or barbaric or anything like that when something that's as prevalent here actually considers that acceptable behavior, to be scooping out hearts and things like that. Of course, you know, whatever happens to the human body after it's lived out its purpose, I guess it doesn't really matter. Maybe the whole custom of burying people will one day be mocked and ridiculed, or maybe it's being mocked and ridiculed even now. Probably is. Everything else is. But boy, that really... That shook me, seeing that. And that hasn't been reported in very many places. But, boy, that's something. I don't know if that's going to happen. And how do you bury a heart anyway? Does a heart get a tombstone? Little tiny tombstone or something? Or maybe it just... You put it in... I don't even want to speculate, all right? The whole thing is just nuts. But, yeah, now we get a new pope. And, the world gets a new pope. We get to watch and see just how bizarre the customs are. You get the white smoke and the black smoke and all that business. It's fun. It's interesting to watch. It really is. And we should watch all kinds of organized clubs and see how they do things. But, I think if I had ever gotten the opportunity to meet Pope John Paul, I would have gotten along with him. He seemed like a cool kind of person to hang out with. But we'll never know now, will we? All right, last week we started a drive, or we maybe started a movement or something like that. I don't want to say an anti-FCC movement, because that's not quite right. The FCC does serve a purpose, and most of us seem to know what that purpose is. The FCC seems to have lost sight of what that purpose is, namely to keep the broadcast spectrum in order, to make sure that radio stations, such as the one you're listening to, don't wander over to another frequency and start broadcasting over there. And that the equipment is up to spec, and that there's some semblance of order. Not the morality police, not someone who's going to tell us what's acceptable and what is not. That's up to the community. Those are community standards. And when things get out of hand, which could happen, I suppose, it's up to the community to deal with that in some way. Now, what has happened as a result of FCC action in the past, ever since the breast incident, we've seen radio stations such as the one I'm in right now, WUSB, Stony Brook. We've seen stations cowed into submission of something that nobody really understands what it is. We don't know what the rules are because the rules aren't explained. But if we violate those rules, oh boy, you're going to have to pay. And that has led to an overall element of anticipation, fear, paranoia. And it's something we need to fight. We need to step up and say something. Last week we called for 100 people to write in. We didn't get 100 pieces of email, sad to say. I didn't expect to get 100 pieces of email. We got just under 40. All right, now, you know, that might seem pathetic by some standards, but let me tell you, it's not. It's not at all, because 40 people can change the world. Two people can change the world. One person can change the world. But if you unite on something, and you're willing to actually spend some time and effort and try to get some more people involved, you really can make a big difference. And that's what I hope to be able to prove here. Now, I still want to get 100. I still want to get 100 people writing in. The address is otw@2600.com. And I think once we get to that figure, once we get 100 people who actually have submitted their names, email addresses, what have you, then we'll have the foundation to actually begin doing something. Then we can start saying, okay, what do we do next? I can give you ideas. I can say, well, we should probably set up some kind of a website. We should probably get to work on coming up with something we all agree on as far as what the FCC's role should be and what it should not be, how radio should operate, how broadcasting should operate, whether or not this encompasses cable and satellite. And the reason I know this will work is because I've talked to so many people over the years about this kind of a thing. And it is a very, very rare instance where I will find somebody who doesn't share the vast majority of my sentiments on this. Where we believe that radio and television and broadcasting in general is able to handle it. And if for whatever reason they betray that trust, the public will let them know. Now, we've cited the instance of the tsunami song on Hot 97 several times. I think it's a great example of how when someone steps over the line and acts like an idiot, or in that case, an entire station of idiots, people will be there to let them know that. And I expect no less here. But one thing I do not want is the shadow of the FCC hanging over this place, making people afraid, making people interpret rules in the strictest of ways. The direct result of this well-founded paranoia is that we can't accept phone calls on the air because of what someone might say, and we don't have a working delay system. We can't make phone calls because if the rules are interpreted 100% strictly, well, talking to somebody without getting their permission first would be illegal, even though there's no way to talk to the person before you call them. And I'm not talking about calling people in their homes and saying, hey, is this John Smith? No, I'm talking about calling information operators to find out something, you know, to make our traditional calls around the world and have all kinds of fun. And not at anybody's expense either. We never treated people in a bad, disrespectful way. Commercial radio people, yes, I know they don't follow those rules. I know they don't. They act like imbeciles a lot of times. But I think we don't need the FCC being the ones to pass judgment and say, well, we didn't like the way you phrased this particular idea. I think listeners and viewers are perfectly capable of expressing themselves either through letters, phone calls, or just by not listening. So what I'd like to do is read through some of the letters that we got, because we did get an awful lot of nice ones. But before we do that, something else is very important that we haven't been able to devote time to in the past couple of weeks, but it's high time that we did. Now, I mentioned I'm speaking to you from WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, great radio station here in the middle of Long Island, New York, home of such things as Amy Fisher, the Garbage Barge, and Joey Buttafuoco, and, well, I think we're Walt Whitman? Yeah, Walt Whitman, too. We have him. A lot of you know, cultural things come from Long Island. But WUSB is probably one of the most important. Why? Because it gives people a voice. It allows people, in whatever way is left, to be creative. And it gives us a platform right now to hopefully build a movement that will spread and take back the airwaves. Hey, maybe that's a good name for it. I'm sure it's been taken about 50 times over. But what I'm getting to here is that we are in the middle of a fundraiser at this radio station. Now, if you're listening to us live, and that is between the hours of 6 and 7, on this, the day of our Lord, April the 5th. Is there a log over here? We don't print the date anymore. Okay, April 5th, 2005. If you're listening to us between those hours, then we would like you to give us a call now and pledge support. Now, you won't be getting away with nothing. You won't be getting away with just giving us money, although that certainly is a worthwhile cause. But you will be getting a little present from us in return. What present is that? Okay, we have two pledge levels. And we have two different things to give out to people. Phone number 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. And I'll have instructions for those of you who are listening at other times in a moment. We have the latest Kevin Mitnick book called The Art of Intrusion. The real stories behind the exploits of hackers, intruders, and deceivers. Now, you remember that Kevin had a book out a year or so ago called The Art of Deception, all about social engineering. This is the newest book, The Art of Intrusion, just came out. And Kevin has actually signed this book. Yes, this is an autographed copy. An autographed copy of this book is yours for a pledge of $50. In addition to that, you'll get a brand new WUSB sweatshirt in the size of your choice. So right away, those two things would easily sell for more than that if you were somewhere out there in a store that sold both of them, which you couldn't do. The other item for $50 pledge is an autographed copy of the double DVD set of the movie about the hacker world and Kevin Mitnick and myself and all kinds of other crazy things. That is yours for a pledge of $50. That's also autographed by Kevin Mitnick and yours truly, Emmanuel Goldstein. And again, you'll get the WUSB sweatshirt with that. Now, if you want both of these items, and I strongly suggest that you get both if you don't have both, because we're more than happy to donate these items, and you'll be helping this radio station to survive so that we can continue to talk about the various things ahead of us. For a pledge of $100, you'll get both of them, and you'll get everything that comes with the 90.1 Club here at the radio station. That includes a WUSB mug, a WUSB hat, and a WUSB t-shirt, and the aforementioned WUSB sweatshirt. Now, Marianne Devine is in the other room. Hello. She has come in to take phone calls, so we have someone who actually will answer the phone and help you through this process of pledging your support to this radio station. Area code 631-632-9872, 631-632-9872. Now, ordinarily, we can't take your phone calls on the air. We're working to change that. And it would be nice to know people are out there that can help in that. Now, for those of you who are listening at a different time and cursing to yourself or cursing out loud because it's past the hour, well, we have one more week to do this. One more week. And then the fundraiser is over. So if you can set a little a timer or a reminder or send yourself a letter or something like that to call the radio station next Tuesday between the hours of 6 and 7, 631-632-9872, then we can accept your pledge then. But those are the only times we can offer these particular premiums. And if you just want to pledge to the radio station, you don't care about premiums, then call whenever you're hearing this, even if it's 10 years from now. Hopefully the phone number will be the same. 631-632-9872. Sure would be nice to see a single phone call come in, you know, to know that there's somebody out there, because I know the signal's working. I was driving around before testing it, and it was definitely working. So there are people out there, and I know people have cell phones because I see you driving around, your SUVs talking on them. All right, so you fit that description. You're listening live. If you're on the internet, sitting back in your home in Iowa or something like that, you know, it might take a couple of minutes for the audio to get to you. But the words are still the same. You're listening to us on WBCQ in Maine, broadcasting to all of North America and South America, too, and maybe part of Europe. Well, you're listening to us on Saturday night. And doesn't it sound cool on an AM radio? Make that note and call us when the show is live next Tuesday. But 631-632-9872 is the number to call now. It sure would be a shame if Marianne came all this way and didn't get to answer a single phone call. Actually, can I bring your microphone up, Marianne? Are you there? I don't think I can see that buzz. She sounds better than that. I don't know why it's not working. Well, I do know why it's not working because, boy, I can go on about that. Hang on, let me try the mixer. There we go.
All right. So now I have to talk?
Yeah, well, you don't have to talk.
Well, I don't
you
have
could just
to.
You could just smile into the microphone, but maybe you could help me convince people that you're real and that someone real
I will answer the phone, gosh darn it.
Yeah, she will. She came all the way in here.
And Eric made these special premiums. Normally, if you called at a different time, you might only get the sweatshirt.
You get a rock and a stocking.
Bucks,
that's what you get.
Or
yeah.
The book.
You can't hear me, can you?
I can.
Oh, okay.
I think there's even a little feedback.
Because
but that's
you're
right.
Listening to me through speakers.
Yeah.
All right.
But not enough that I need to turn them down.
No.
So that's what...
I can change that with just a flick of the wrist.
I think it was, you know, my fillings. I don't know.
631-632-9872.
Yeah, you're throwing in all this extra stuff. And you know what? I don't know. We'll have to see. I'll leave it for this week, but maybe for next week. Although I don't have a DVD player, I have been threatening to watch your documentary for the 2 or 3 years that it's been out. This is probably longer.
Yeah, yeah, it's been out since 2001.
I've yet to see it.
But not on DVD.
I should be ashamed and embarrassed and look at admitting it.
Well, you should be, but at the same time, there's also a big Easter egg hunt.
But if someone's prepared to snatch it up for $50, I'll leave it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just continue to be embarrassed.
There's a phone call.
The phone.
Marianne, you got to go. And
right, yeah, turn the thing down.
Okay, now while she takes the information for that, lucky they hung up. Can you believe that?
All right.
Let's make sure this is a real call. 631-632-9872. Now, just because Marianne is on the phone now does not mean you can't call, because she's very versatile. She can put one person on hold and go to the other person. A little bit of patience maybe is required. Sometimes we have five people in there. Today we just have one. 631-632-9872. Sure would be nice to raise a bit of cash for the station so that we can continue to talk about the things we talk about here on Off the Wall. We're going to read some letters from people who wrote us concerning the fight against the FCC. And again, if you want to join that fight, otw@2600.com, we're just under 40 names. And if we were to get above 100, well, that will convince me that we have enough people to actually start to do all kinds of nifty things. But let's get a good group of people together first. Then we can plan out how we want to attack this thing, what we want from it, and whether we have a chance. I think we do. I really think we can throw some common sense into the fray so that just not just the right-wing Bible thumpers will will have their say in what goes on over the airwaves. And, you know, to any right-wing Bible thumpers out there who are on our side, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying there are people out there who hijack everything for their own purposes. And whether it's right, whether it's left, it ain't right. 631-632-9872. Join the one caller on the line, who Marianne is helping right now. And pledge your support to the radio station. Again, two pledge levels. For $50, you get a signed copy of The Art of Intrusion, Kevin Mitnick's brand new book. Or you'll get a signed copy of Freedom Downtime, the DVD, double DVD set of the story of Kevin Mitnick and the hacker world, signed by yours truly and Kevin Mitnick. In addition to each of those pledge levels, you'll get a WUSB sweatshirt. And if you want both, if you want everything for a pledge of $100, you'll get both, plus a sweatshirt, plus T-shirt, plus coffee mug or tea mug and a WUSB hat. You know, it's a lot of stuff there. It really is. But it's just our way of saying thanks, because we really need the support. We do this a couple of times a year here at this place. It's not like the other radio station where inside of a second you'll have 10 calls. This is much smaller operation, much more humble, but also much more vulnerable. That's why your donations mean so much. 631-632-9872, country code 1 if you're listening from outside the country, and I know a lot of people are. And again, if you're listening and it's not between 6 and 7 on Tuesday, April 5th, that is, call us between 6 and 7 on Tuesday, April 12th. That's the last time we'll be doing the fundraiser during this show. And if you can't call during that time, call during any time. And just pledge support to the radio station, 631-632-9872. Let's take a look at some of the letters we've gotten so far. OTW@2600.com if you want to join the fight to bring common sense back to the airwaves. Or we need a good slogan, that's for sure. Here's a letter from Jimmy. This has got to stop. The FCC has no business regulating pay services. Keep out of satellite and cable. I'll spread the word. First they came for the radio, then they came for TV. Where will they stop? How long before the internet is turned into AOL? Well, Jimmy, yeah, you know, it's bigger than that, though. It's not just about the satellite and cable and pay services. It's about the free airwaves and how they're being taken from us. How we have to worry about every possible person we could possibly offend. Well, people are going to be offended by all kinds of things. All right, we're not saying that radio should be turned into obscenity or pornography on television or anything like that. Nobody is. But to give you an example, in Canada, you can air The Sopranos at night on broadcast television, and guess what? The country survives. We tried that in this country, there would be a revolution, but not a big revolution, a revolution of some people that are able to make carbon copy letters and convince legislators that there are millions and millions of them, when most people don't care. Most people don't think this is a big deal. What is a big deal? All kinds of other things. Wars, for instance. Homelessness, disease, health care. You know, those are the important things. What you hear on the radio, what you see on TV at various times of the day or night, those are other issues completely. Here's another letter. Dear Emmanuel, I believe, as you do, that the overreaction to the FCC by broadcasters such as WUSB and the extreme plans and policies proposed by the FCC itself are a threat to free speech and freedom of the press. I would like to express my emphatic support for your stance on this issue with WUSB and for the fight against the unconstitutional and unjust proposals of the FCC. It has long been a problem among liberal and other like-minded activists that they engage in the practice of my way or the highway, idealism that is, and closed-mindedness. Such tendencies and the lack of solidarity on various issues has led to things like the proposed and current policies of the FCC, especially when conservative groups like the Parents Television Council make efforts and rational people who might be opposed to it remain apathetic. Bingo, you got it right there. That's absolutely it, 100%. I believe we should take a more active role in fighting these policies and the gradual shift towards media censorship we are witnessing. You can count me as a supporter of this issue. Signed, Iridium. Thanks very much for that letter, Iridium. Continuing, I'm interested in helping to preserve the show. I've been listening since episode one, and it is one of the things that keeps me going throughout the week. Being stuck in the Midwest, even with shortwave, it is difficult, if not impossible, to find someone who has similar viewpoints to listen to. Listening to the shows, Off the Hook and Off the Wall, fills me with hope that there are still individuals out there looking to preserve the real American way of life. And this counts as two votes. My girlfriend says she loved the show as well. Signed, Zach. Thanks very much, Zach, for that kind letter. And what keeps us going are our listeners, knowing people are out there who care enough to write, care enough to start with us in this long struggle ahead, because it will take some time. It's not going to be an overnight victory, but I'm convinced it will be a victory. But again, to invest in this and keep the station here, because we need the station here in order to be able to continue talking about things like this, please give a call, 631-632-9872. And pledge your support. Again, two pledge levels, $50 each, and a third pledge level of $100 with all kinds of neat stuff. You can also pledge any other figure. You don't have to get the items that we're talking about here, but those items are special to this particular radio program, which is why we're mentioning them now. 631-632-9872. That's our phone number. Still have that one call on the line. I hope that's not a personal call, Marianne. Well, I guess it doesn't matter if it is, if nobody else is calling. 631-632-9872. Pledge your support. Here's another letter. I've been a long-time listener to Off the Hook, and recently I've started listening to Off the Wall, both off the internet. Every week I look forward more and more to your shows and your thoughts. They have become, in many ways, invaluable to me. I am interested in the fight. It seems that all my voice is and has become is that of the fight. I am only 20 years old, and I have watched with increasing horror at the degradation of, well, everything that I once believed in. It's scary when you begin to wake up and the voice that you've been searching for your entire life is nothing but dissent. I once thought that I could find my niche in this world, where I could settle back and not oppose or conflict. It's hard to use that as a verb, not conflict with people, right? Not conflict. Conflict is the noun, conflict is the verb. All right, whatever. With people, but in the past year, it has become more and more apparent to me that a niche for me no longer exists. I have been cursed and blessed to live in large and small communities in blue, red, and purple states, but never has that niche presented itself. I've always been fighting for that niche. You know, dude, you got to stop saying niche, all right? That's what's going to make people want to strangle you there. Okay, I'm searching for it my entire life. I find that my voice is that of dissent, that of disagreement and criticism. My entire life I was searching for a voice that I already had found and did not know it. But now I can embrace it with an understanding I did not have yesterday, and every day I will understand it more and more. Boy. As I said, I am only 20 years old, and I am amazed at what has been allowed to happen in my lifetime. I fought against, in my own way, nearly every system I found myself in, be it school, jobs, labels, and even the real world. I have used many tactics, working inside the system to invoking shock. I have lost many battles, and now I am relearning many things and questioning old facts I once held dear. For that past year, I have been laid up, so to speak, but I am quickly moving back to the person I was when I was just entering my teens, questioning everything and never getting a good answer. This probably has a lot to do with the regular growing up ritual, but I find the subjects I gravitate toward are those of much bigger pictures than myself and the small community I live in. Every day I fight my own complacency and cowardice. It's even harder to fight other people's complacency and cowardice. I don't understand the whole fight, but I do know it has already begun and has been going on since long before the day I was born. Only now am I understanding it more and able to join it willingly. I hope you receive your 100 emails this next week and many more than that. And if not, I know you will let your listeners know, as I have done. That signed Le Provoquant. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Please pledge your support to the radio station in one of many ways. Writing a letter is definitely a good way to get started with this whole FCC battle. But pledging support for the radio station will ensure that there's a battle to be fought. 631-632-9872. I should also point out we're only on for another 5 more minutes, as there is a lacrosse game tonight at the Marianne. We have
someone to thank. The gentleman who made the pledge, who kind of wants to shout. It's a little long. He wanted to send out a message.
Okay.
I told him it was a.
Let me see if I can read this. Shout out to my coworkers and that they should be nicer people. Should I read this next part too,
yeah,
or is that your comment?
Okay.
Andrew is a good friend, and the manager needs to seriously calm down. Is this somebody that they want to mention where they work? Or?
And it's all from Chaz.
Okay, Chaz.
Yeah, no,
all
I right. Didn't mention where he worked. That was the important part.
All right, 631-632-9872. Again, we're off in another couple of minutes, but we will be back again next week with the last week of the fundraisers. So again, if you missed out this week, please tune in then. Let's continue with a letter or two more. I'm listening to Tuesday's program, April 30th, and I'm writing to let you know I'm willing to help take up the fight for freedom of speech. I'm agitated beyond words when I hear of yet more rights taken away from the radical right under the guise of family values. I'm a high school math/computer teacher in Iowa. Oh, I mentioned Iowa before, didn't I? I am the father of three great kids. I'm a deacon in my church. I got mail from a deacon. And I help serve communion several times a year. I'm not some radical. I simply want the freedoms afforded to me that are guaranteed by the Constitution. What's more, I want to make sure that my students and children are living in a free America when they grow up, and not the fascist society that Mr. Bush is working so hard to create. In my networking class, we talk about freedom of information. I've even got them watching Freedom Downtime that I just purchased on DVD. Thanks for all the great work that you do. Signed, Eric. Eric, thanks so much for that letter. And, might be the first letter I've gotten from a deacon, but it's great. it's great to know that we can reach all kinds of people in all walks of life. And yeah, Eric mentioned the DVD which we're offering today. for a pledge of $50, signed by myself and the subject of it, Kevin Mitnick. Simply call 631-632-9872. We take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, all that stuff. And you also get the WUSB sweatshirt. For a pledge of $100, you'll get both the DVD and Kevin Mitnick's latest book, signed by him, The Art of Intrusion. The real stories behind the exploits of hackers, intruders, and deceivers. You'll get that, plus you'll get all the WUSB paraphernalia. A shirt, a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a mug, and a hat. Can't beat it, can you? 631-632-9872. That's our phone number. All right, time for us to cut out of here. But again, let me remind you of the email address, otw@2600.com. We need to hear from you if you want to join in the foundation of this fight for freedom of speech, where we decide what we're going to do next, how we're going to proceed, what kind of waves we're going to make. It will be historic. It will be something that I think you'll remember for a very long time, something that a lot of other people will get involved in. Let's hope so. Let's hope more people tell more people. And before you know it, there'll be thousands involved, tens of thousands. It really can happen. I've seen this happen before. So don't sell yourself short. Write that letter. Make that phone call. Again, otw@2600.com. Phone number to call now, 631-632-9872. And again, if you're listening to this and it's not Tuesday, call back next Tuesday, April 12th. That's the last day of the fundraiser on this particular radio program. If you can't call back then, call back any time and pledge to the radio station. All right. Emmanuel Goldstein signing off for tonight. We'll be back again next week. Stay tuned.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to WUSB Sports. Tonight, big lacrosse matchup for the Stony Brook Seawolves. The Seawolves will take on Army, fourth-ranked Army today. Seawolves trying to rebound from a tough 12-9 loss against Albany on Saturday. So a big, big, big matchup for the Stony Brook Seawolves men's lacrosse team as they take on number fourth-ranked Army. With the Seawolves pregame show, Matt Mankiewicz at Laval Stadium.
Thank you very much, Jeff Bernstein, live from Laval Stadium on the campus of Stony Brook University. Welcome to Stony Brook Seawolves Lacrosse. I'm Matt Mankiewicz. I'm joined this evening by Ben Batanti, who will be providing play-by-play action as the Seawolves take on the fourth-ranked Army Black Knights. And Ben, just sprinting from the train here, just getting here just in time for the action. And Ben, this is the second highest-ranked team the Seawolves have ever faced in their Division I history. They did face Virginia, who was ranked third at the time, I believe, back in 1999. But Army, this is as high as they've been since they were second-ranked in 1983. So it's uncharted territory for both these teams.
No question about it, Matt. Both teams going into this season with high expectations, but I don't know if they would have expected that this game would have such implications this far. Remember, we were supposed to have played this game already this year. It's been rescheduled. It's going to be tonight. What a gorgeous night we're going to have out here tonight. If you're in the listening area, do stop by. There's plenty of tickets available. Bring your headset along, listen to WUSB, and get the best of both worlds. But you're right, Matt. No question about it. The number four-ranked Army, this is a stratosphere that the cadets have, no, the Black Knights now, have never gotten to. And for Stony Brook, a bitter pill to swallow, having been fallen out of the top 20. But they, with a win here tonight, forget about it, they'd be in the top 10. So anything's, you know, it's possible here tonight when these two teams get together. The first time ever in the regular season that these two teams will be meeting each other.
That's right. And the Black Knights in the Patriot League, they are 3-0 in that league, a very tough league, obviously. And we were talking when this game was originally scheduled to open up the season in early March and was canceled or postponed, obviously, till today due to field conditions brought on by snow. We originally thought that Army needed this game more than Stony Brook did because of the tough league, because of the possibility that they would have to live with an at-large bid. Right now, with Bucknell at 4-0, they're at 3-0, and they are far from the toughest teams in the conference because it just runs all the way down the line. I mean, you still got Navy in there at 4-1. They're ranked 8th in the country. Colgate and Lehigh, Holy Cross and Lafayette, probably the only teams you could possibly call pushovers. As a matter of fact, that was the only blowout win Army had was against Lafayette.
Right.
But the Patriot League is, there's no givens in there either, okay? Winning the Patriot League championship obviously gets you an automatic bid, but you don't know what you're going to get. You could get aced out by any number of teams. So Army needs whatever wins it can get. Fourth ranked is fine, means nothing with an NCAA bid. Stony Brook, it's a non-conference game for them. Losing to Albany was a tough one in many ways, simply because it got Albany into the rankings, but it also means that unless Albany stumbles somewhere along the line, they could be facing Albany on the road for the America East title if both teams get that far. Very tough situation for Stony Brook at this point. But again, Army needs to pile on the wins. Losing this game will not hurt Stony Brook as much.
No, you're right. And this is just, you know, this speaks of the world of college lacrosse right now. It's parity. Every team is capable of winning on any given night. It's sort of like the NFL. You're going to know going into the year a couple of good teams that are going to be standouts that you expect. But there's always surprises. You look no further than an Army at 7-1, ranked 4, and a Princeton at 0-5. And just, those are two teams. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, just to give you guys a little perspective, you mentioned Princeton, Ben. Princeton won their first game of the year today. They beat Penn 6-5 in double OT. And John Hopkins buries Albany 19-6.
And that's, I mean, that's what we're talking about right there. That this is an Albany team that could come in and beat a UMass team at home, but then go down to Hopkins to get a dose of reality. And then UPenn beating Princeton, that's a one-goal game in overtime. And UPenn is by far the least talented group team in the Ivy League. So a team like Princeton could go from winning a perennial national championship to, you know, this year their first win coming by the skin of their teeth against a tough conference foe. But that's the world of college lacrosse, Matt. And it's the distance from the top to the bottom is so small now that these two teams get together. Sure, you throw the rankings out of it, and one's ranked fourth, one's not ranked at all. But on any given day, these two teams are very, very similar.
And that's what Stony Brook is hoping for right now. Running down the starters for the two teams, start with the Black Knights. Your attackmen are going to be Jim Wagner, the senior from Grand Island, New York, and there are a lot of Long Islanders on this team, by the way. I mean, we've talked about this many times, both Army and Navy, both teams loaded with Long Islanders. No surprises here. Jim Wagner, we mentioned, the senior attackman. Also, Matt Scheel, he's a freshman from Medina, Ohio. And John Walker, the junior attackman from Dix Hills. And now your midfielders, Mike Obringer, the junior mid from Baltimore, and also he'll be complemented by Jake Couch, a senior from Norwalk, Connecticut, and also Justin Bachmeyer. He is a sophomore from El Cajon, California. Now your defenseman, Matt Leister, the junior from Hicksville, Matt Bowerman, he is a junior from Farmington, and your third defenseman, Nick Dorr from Elbridge. Your goalie, Adam Fullerton, he is a freshman from Liverpool. Now here's an interesting twist. Adam Fullerton took the full-time job two games in because their regular goalie, Matt Darrick, he went down. He's from Lake Grove. He's going to be on the field. He went down, and what the absolutely interesting thing that Jack Emmerich always loves to do, always has some kind of substitution twist. Well, what happened was Darrick was the substitute goalie in man-down situations only. And he was doing a pretty good job there because he was better at clearing the ball, better at playing the ball than Darrick was. Now Fullerton's in. Fullerton's a full-time guy. So that twist is gone. What he has now is, he'll throw another twist in. He has a little thing he calls the Delta Force. Okay? The Delta Force is basically, you got a couple of guys on the sideline clears that will be there. They're your sideline clear specialists, essentially. Vic DeMuth and Paul Wijinski. So we see the 14 and 32 out there. That's their Delta Force. And, of course, being the Army, what else are they going
to
call them?
That's right. And getting back to Fullerton, he's a lefty, which is what Stony Brook saw last week in Kevin Ray. Yeah, lefties can give trouble on a normal team because they're so used to shooting on right-handed keepers. Stony Brook didn't really have that much difficulty last week against the lefty Ray, able to beat him with a couple shots. But this kid Fullerton's not going to play like a freshman. As with a lot of the Army players, they get to, and Navy players as well, they get them out of high school going into the prep school, the West Point prep school, and so they play a year before getting to college. I had the opportunity to coach against Fullerton last year when the community college team I coached for played up there at West Point, and this kid's a good keeper. As you said, very athletic, out of the cage. He can clear the ball as an instant clear, and just a good, solid goalkeeper. So kind of picked up where Darrick left off. He was kind of the freshman, the senior leader, but when you have a squad of 45 West Pointers, there's definitely no lack of leadership on the field. No question about that as we get set to go here.
And also, let's run down the Stony Brook lineup very quickly. Your attackmen are your usual suspects. Jason Capodoro, the junior from Levittown. Adam Marksberry, the junior from Port Jeff Station. And Bo Tripodi, your freshman from Halpog. Your mids, Adam Malent, getting a start. Sophomore from Nesconset. Larry Sarasi, the sophomore from Centereach. And Michael Polk, the senior from Appalachian, New York. Your defenseman, Kyle Pearl, the senior from Oceanside. John Donnelly from Northport, the junior, and David Weiss, the senior from Long Beach. And rounding out the lineup in goal, as usual, Brendan Callahan, the sophomore from Hanover, Maryland.
And he is a good one. As we take a step, a break here to send it back to Jeff Bernstein in the studio while they give us our national anthem, we will be back with all the action. Number 4 Army comes to town playing our own Stony Brook Seawolves, and you're listening to the longtime home for Seawolves Athletics, WUSB.
Thanks a lot, Ben Batanti and Matt Mankiewicz. Welcome back to the WSB studios. Let's give you a little sports update before we send it back to Laval for this very important lacrosse game in the Stony Brook men's lacrosse history. Let's look at the NBA schedule. Boston at Washington tonight, LA at Charlotte, New Jersey at Cleveland, Chicago at Miami, New Orleans at Atlanta, Denver at Memphis, Orlando at Dallas, Portland and Utah, Lakers at Phoenix, Seattle at Sacramento, and Houston is at Golden State. Big game over at the Garden tonight. It's the last game ever for Reggie Miller in an Indiana Pacer uniform. He's retiring. It's his last game at the Garden. I know Matt's not happy about that. Indiana at the Knicks tonight, 7:30, last game for Reggie Miller. I'm not sure if they're going to give him a little prize or anything, but last game for Reggie at the Garden. In the National League, Florida is leading Atlanta 7-0 in the bottom of the sixth. San Fran knocks off the Dodgers 4-2. St. Louis is at Houston, 7 o'clock. Cubs are at Arizona, 9:40. In the America League, all night games tonight, Toronto at Tampa Bay, Minnesota at Seattle, Texas at the L.A. Angels, and a walk-off home run by Derek Jeter knocks off the Red Sox today in the bottom of the ninth, 4-3. Back to Ben and Matt at Laval.
As we finish up the national anthem here at Laval Stadium, give you a couple seconds of that. As a good crowd files in here at Laval Stadium, we're set to get underway. It's the Seawolves and the Black Knights. Army coming in ranked fourth in the country. And let's talk a little bit, Matt, about the coaches here. Of course, starting with the visiting team, Jack Emmer comes to town, and he is the winningest Division I head coach in the world of lacrosse, and one of the greats, having a lot of impact on the sport of lacrosse. Across on the other sideline, a relative newbie, but a successful one at that, Lars Tiffany, in his first year coaching here at Stony Brook. As you talked about before, the starting lineups, one person that we must mention on the Albany side, the Army side of things, is John Walker. You're going to hear that name a lot. He wears number 29. He's a junior from nearby Dix Hills, New York, and he played at Half Hollow Hills East High School. You might know him best as the son of Wesley Walker, although he's putting on his own little show out here in the college world of lacrosse, a Towarathon finalist. That's the trophy that goes to the best lacrosse player in the nation. He's a finalist along with Wagner, his teammate, and this kid Walker is something special, Matt.
And with obviously being the son of Wesley Walker, you know he's going to bring to the table in terms of speed and athletic ability, but he's going to be really something to watch. A lot of guys from Long Island, as we mentioned. I mean, just running down some high schools that are being represented here. Hicksville, Northport, Cold Spring Harbor, St. Anthony's, Halpog, and Half Hollow Hills West was where Walker came from, Sachem, Island Trees, John F. Kennedy and Belmore. I mean, on and on and on. And it's really great to see that both Army and Navy are full of Long Islanders. And surprisingly, you know, old alma mater Chaminade here, nobody from Chaminade on the Army lacrosse team, they're all in Navy. But anyway, but regardless, and also a lot of these guys came up through the U.S. Military Academy prep school, too.
Right.
The Army does take their lacrosse very seriously, as does Navy, and they play in the same league together, so those rivalries are for real. And they use the best of the facilities, they use their main stadiums, wherever they possibly can, and it's a really good sport for both the service academies here.
As we get set to get underway here at Laval Stadium, beautiful night, as I mentioned before, day turning into night thanks to daylight savings time. The Army Black Knights in their away blacks, white numbers, yellow striping down the sides, yellow helmets, and black face masks. Meanwhile, the Seawolves are in their home whites with red stripes down the side, red numbers, all white helmets with a red brim, as Coach Tiffany has them about the 30-yard line to give his final pregame speech. The Seawolves will be going from left to right with Callahan defending the, is that the north goal, Matt?
Well, let's see. The sun is directly in front of us in the west, so I guess this is the north goal.
The north goal. That's where Callahan will be, to the left of our broadcast.
No, that's a south goal. I'm sorry. I get my directions completely screwed up.
Correction, the south goal. But either way, it's to our left, and they will be going from left to right. Face-offs will be a key, and we'll see two Long Islanders battling at the face-off X. Jim Astia will get the most of the time, the transfer from Malloy, Comswag High School, and for the Black Knights, Eric Minio, St. Anthony's product number 44. And right now it will be Michael Polk instead of Astia. We've seen a steady dose of Polk and Astia. Polk, the senior from upstate New York, and he will be at the face-off X as we get set to go.
Both of them very good face-off players. Astia known for a very high percentage, 66%, and Polk not far behind.
And we are underway. Face-off being fought for by both teams, still on the ground in what has looked like a scrum, and it's going to be picked up and controlled by Stony Brook and Adam Lent on the far sideline. Lent has trouble with it, saves the ball inbounds, and It comes all the way near side to Larry Sirasi. Seawolves have it. From left to right, Sirasi on the right side. Down behind, now Tripodi, all the way to Capodoro, and now Marksberry on the far side as the Seawolves substitute. Here's Capodoro at the X, now near side to Tripodi. Seawolves' first line of midfield is on. Sirasi, Dutch to go along with, I believe that's number 25, Chris Tracy, getting a first-line midfielder spot after a three-goal performance this weekend against Albany. Up top now it's Sirasi working against the short stick. Dodges to his right. Double team there. Kicks the ball behind to Capodoro. Feeds on the crease. Quick hard shot as a save. Shot coming from Dutch. Saved there by Fullerton, and he has it in his cross.
Good early attempts by the Seawolves. Pepper the goalie early. He's a freshman. You should be able to take some kind of advantage early on.
Jeff R. on the far sideline, the short stick defensive mid. He takes the ball and clears it himself. And Stony Brook in a man-to-man pressure defense. Here comes a little transition. Army on the far side. Backside feed to Walker. He steps in front of the cage, thinks about the shot, now feeds it all the way cross cage, looking for Wagner. It goes through, but Army recovers.
A little bit of a bad pass there. Nice recovery by Army, though, just outside the box.
Behind now with Scheel, near side to Walker. He's going to be guarded by David Weiss for the most part today, so we'll watch that matchup. Near side now as the midfielders hustle in, it's Jake Couch. He's going to invert against his short stick behind the cage as Couch, the senior from Norwalk, Connecticut, will be marked up against, looks like Devin's, a short stick. As the Seawolves quickly change, it's Wagner near side to Walker. Walker dodges from left to right, spin move with the left hand, shot hard off the top crossbar, long rebound fought for there as Walker smoked it past Callahan, but it's got saved on the crossbar, and eventually it will be Walker who picks up the ground ball. Far near side and a hard righty shot misses the cage, backed up there by Callahan. The Seawolves will get retained possession on the Orbringer miss.
Now the nice thing about it is they give Callahan a lot of credit for blocking the goal there. He was looking for the upper right corner. In both cases, very precise shot and very hard to catch.
Michael Polk with it now, crossing the midfield, cradling in his right hand, gets it into the box to avoid a 10-second violation and will come out and substitute. On the left side, that's Mayer. Up top now, Jamie Lacey with the ball now. Lacey running with the second mids. It'll be Mayer, Lacey, and Matthew O'Connor, the sophomore, on the second line. Down the near side goes Lacey. Pass it the X to Capodoro as he works against Matt Leister.